Hey, how's everybody doing out there? You're listening to the Day Tripper Podcast, episode 35, and we're about to give you guys a behind-the-scenes look on all the shenanigans that happened as we kicked off season 8. So thanks for joining me. Let's get it on. Okay, so before we jump into it, today's podcast is sponsored by none other than the great Mikey V's Hot Sauce. Mikey V's Fresh Salsas. We eat a lot of Mikey V's here at the office for various reasons.
We are the back office testing room for him.
That's right. We get a private invitation into his testing facility. But all right, Mikey V's Hot Sauce, it's made in Georgetown. He's got what now, like 6 hot sauces? Plus, fresh salsas, both red and green. The dude wins every contest he enters. It's insane. Get down there. Come to the Georgetown Square. Buy yourself some Mikey V's hot sauce.
He also has phenomenal. A couple of barbecue sauces he's released.
Oh, that's right.
And he has his 5-minute salsa pack now.
The dude is taking over the hot sauce world and barbecue sauce world.
Y'all make it sound like he tests on humans.
Food condiment world.
He does. And we've all paid the price. Our tongues are never the same.
Oh, that's true. I had jalapenos on a cheeseburger yesterday. Like, I couldn't even taste them. I was like, this, and they were fresh. It's like,
thanks, Mike.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. My taste buds will never recover. All right, so anyway, find yourself some Mikey V's. Joining me today, greatest crew in the world, the folks that were with me on the road as we filmed these episodes, Stevens, to give you guys their take on all the things that went good and bad on the episodes.
The greatest crew in the world.
Yeah, that's sweet. That should be a show. Great. Nice. Actually, that is a show. It's called The Day Tripper. All right, but I got Mr. Richie Lozano over here.
Hello.
Todd White.
Yep.
Daniel Meese.
Howdy, howdy.
And for those that you don't know, Richie over here is a producer, cameraman extraordinaire, editor. Todd runs, sort of sets up all the shoots, gets us out there, does behind the scenes photography. Daniel over here, videographer extraordinaire, editor as well. So that, you know, that just maybe helps you guys understand their perspective on this whole deal. But, you know, so you guys are watching.
So it's over budget, out of focus.
Yeah.
And yeah, past just, due.
That's there right. You go. That's right. We have no one to blame but ourselves. But you guys, all right, so season 8 kicked off, and we did something new this season we'd never done before. We had a 2-parter season opener, and went to Big Bend, had a cliffhanger, and then finished up Big Bend at the second, the second episode. Then we went to, let's see, Taylor, Conroe, and Bernie. And when this hits the airwaves, you guys actually won't have seen some of these yet. But if you're listening after October, you can find them on our website or on a PBS station near you. But Big Bend was something I've been looking forward to filming for, well, since the season, you know, since the show started, really.
Me?
And so,
the problem.
What happened? Big Bend was fun. These guys are laughing. Hey, at least I get to my point. I say it. At least I get to my point.
The complaint was I'm the one who's going to push it past 30 minutes. And then, like, he goes on and on and on.
Hey, I get to my point.
It's all good.
Yeah, eventually. Yeah, eventually.
All right. Good.
So, first off, we went to Big Bend. And we didn't film this as the first episode of the season. We filmed this in July, was it? Anyway, everybody warned us that it was the worst time of year to go because we were either going to melt in the desert or be pounded with rains. And it turns out we were pounded with rains. But you guys had never been to Big Bend.
No.
And so,
nope.
We got a podcast about that if you want to dig through the archives and go dig it up. But this one's really about all the things that happened behind the scenes at Big Bend. And it started the first day because we got there and we were planning on going and filming Santa Ana Canyon. And what should be in our way as we went but a giant flash flood that was washing out the road.
Well, even the drive on I-10 to the park was rainy and crazy.
We got, destroyed.
Yeah, that I-10 run was a little insane. We almost got washed off the road there. Daniel did the Mack truck duties on the way out. Right, you drove the whole way.
I drove. Or the way, well.
We had 2 cars. I drove the truck the
Sometimes
whole way.
Sometimes it's like a blur. You can't remember that. Sometimes we get home at like 1 o'clock in the morning from these shoots, you know? So it's like, Did I drive? Did you? I don't know. I made it to bed somehow that night. There? My wife was happy. I woke up at home.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah.
you got here last night.
No, but the driving duty was tough, and I just didn't expect that much rain coming into the park.
It was a lot of rain.
It made for gloomy skies getting there. We stopped in Marathon for lunch, and that was nice, and it got really pretty, but the sky was kind of spotty. It was really big and beautiful, but it was like spotty between huge white clouds and
desert got totally, I mean, it everything was kind of wet, and the roads were covered in millipedes.
Yeah,
because of the rain.
A bunch of insects came out, which was good because otherwise there'd be nothing else to show.
Yeah, we saw that tarantula right after we got there. It was an episode. Yeah. I think that was awesome.
I think that was really one cool. of the best highlights of the episode, really.
If I hadn't been with y'all, I never would have stopped and considered touching a random spider on the road. I think the fact that you got multiple people together and everybody's in agreement, oh yeah, this is something you do. It's like, oh, okay, I'll do something stupid.
I guess I'll touch
Otherwise,
the spider.
Otherwise, no, I would have tried to run over it possibly.
But did you let it crawl on you?
Crawl on me? No. Touch it? Yes.
Yes. Richie wouldn't touch it either.
My job is the shooter. I capture the memories. I do not participate in them.
Oh, right.
It felt very
But truthfully,
gross.
Capture
you
the memories, but not take the risks.
I'm not the first.
Got to take risks to get the memory. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I was like, hey, okay, who wants to pick it up? And both like, oh, I think I'm okay. These guys were. But if you notice, I wasn't the first person to pick it up. I was like just letting it crawl over my hand. And I was like, I don't know, because every time I tried to scoop it, it freaked out. Mm-hmm. And then
Travis
jumped right in and scooped it up. And once he got it to kind of calm down, it was crawling all over us. And I was fine with that.
So I was not on this particular shoot. So you mean Travis actually sat there and like petted and calmed the spider down to where it was?
I think once it got used to the fact that he did. He was tarantula whisperer, without a doubt.
He immediately put it like on his face and let it crawl across his face. And they were like, oh, put it in my mouth, dude, I'll catch it. Like,
wow.
They were just trying to find ways to randomly hold something.
I have
in.
A whole new respect.
The whole trip. I mean, they picked up a snake. Travis picked up a snake.
He did?
He's like, it's not poisonous, so it's okay.
But he picked up a fish.
Wow.
He caught a fish with his bare hands.
Like I said, he picked up a fish.
Okay.
And then if you notice, there's that fuzzy red ant in the episode, and it cuts to a close-up of a hand, and you assume it's my hand. Oh, that's not my hand. That's Travis's hand.
It looks so natural, just holding it, but in real life, like, what was her name? Maria Lavender.
Yeah.
She said, I don't think I've ever touched one of those. So we didn't know if it was okay. Yeah. He's like, yeah, let it crawl. Really? What's going to happen?
And we asked Travis, like, do those sting? He goes, I don't know.
We'll find out.
We'll find out on my hand.
I mean, that
things like live.
Yeah, wildlife.
That was just the way in. But we had a plan for a big bend that didn't really work. Like Chet said, we wanted to go to see the big sights, which it put a strain on our schedule because of how far away things were.
Everything.
And we couldn't get another shot. Like it happens all the time on the show where we run out of time here, we pick it up on the second day, or we might have to change the plan a little bit. But some, like Big Bend 2, the second episode, the Terlingua episode, turns into something different because the weather did some weird things on us and we couldn't really just do it again.
No.
Or have a shot at it. Like,
no.
Like it's an hour and a half drive to get to the Santa Elena Canyon, and when the road is washed out 8 miles before you even get there, you know, it's kind of like, well, that's kind of it. We don't have a chance to go back and
there was our shot.
Just, oh, we can run right past that again and get another crack at it. No, because we're supposed to be in other parts of the park that are 2 hours away.
But it's kind of deceiving because sometimes you can see it in the distance, but that still might be like 45 minutes away.
Easily.
Like,
yeah.
Look, there's the canyon way out there. Yeah,
exactly.
You're not even close.
Yeah, exactly. And that belies to the scale of the park when, you can see something like Santa Elena just right over there. You don't understand that it's how tall?
2.5 million feet tall.
Like, I think it's
It's like a thousand feet tall. It's a massive canyon.
And so it's just right over there, but it's not. And the same thing with the Chisos in the middle of the canyon. If you get right into the center where we were, where I was most of the time, in the basin where the lodge is, you go, oh, there's that mountain right over there. There's the window. There's Casa Grande, there's these mountains that you point out, and only from the perspective that the guys got when they went on the hike, do you see how small the lodge is and how far away the rest of the Chisos are. You're like, I thought it was right there. Like, no, it is miles.
Miles and miles and miles.
That,
yeah.
That mountain you see right, oh, just right there, that huge mountain right there. It's not just right there.
There was a lot of stuff I wanted to put in the show that didn't make it because of that, exactly what Richie's talking about. We got rained out on the way to Santa Elena. Okay, scrap that because we're not going to make that drive an hour down to right. Santa Elena and can't then an hour it, yeah. back. So anyway, scrap that. Next morning, we go to the Boquillas Hot Springs, which are these beautiful hot springs that bubble up in these ruins on the Rio Grande.
I've only
totally
heard
flooded.
That's a rumor. You saw I never saw it.
You saw a picture. Totally cut. Want to go to Boquillas, Mexico, because that's kind of like, it's in Mexico, but it's sort of part of the park. It relies on park visitors to actually have an economy. Totally cut. Couldn't cross
the
river
because the river was flooded. To cross.
Yeah.
The plan was to cross.
We were going to Mexico.
And, well, here's the worst part. The
I plan, had my passport.
I did too.
The plan was to, for the boys to cross and go in there and stay late and then come back late and forget it being washed out. We got the bad news when we got there that the crossing closes at 6 p.m.
Yeah, so that's not something they advertised.
If we didn't like do some more research when we got there, they would have been stuck in Mexico overnight.
Yeah,
would have had to forge those international.
Yeah, forge the mighty river, which is like way to cross the Rio Grande. But we would have had to do it. I guess that'd be illegal.
Yeah, well, not at that point.
I'm a U.S. citizen, sir.
Are you sure?
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Hold it above the waterline.
Yeah.
Don't shoot!
That
water was rushing.
That water was a mudslide like you've never seen. Yeah. I couldn't believe it.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
Yep. So we ended up putting Terlingua in the episode, which it's a good thing we went to Terlingua for the dinner the first night.
Well, that was off-camera meal,
yep.
off-camera dinner.
And you guys were sort of like, hey, this town's kind of weird. It's kind of cool. And so when everything fell apart the next morning because the hot springs were flooded and the Boquillas thing fell through, it was like, looks like we're going to Terlingua in the episode.
Well, yeah. Once the hot springs flooded, we had to have a big discussion on what the rest of the episode was going to be. So in the bloopers, you'll see us stand at the very end. We're inventing Big Ben right there with the beard and the headband, and we're inventing the rest of the episode on the fly. Like, we're going to have to make it about Terlingua.
Because that's how awesome we are.
Yeah.
And just the quality of the show that you're watching.
Gets made up 5 minutes before it happens.
Little effort. Yeah, so we had to like super scramble, and so much stuff fell apart, but it was tons of hiking footage.
We bought you that illegal walking stick. We're like, Big Ben needs a walking stick. I'll go buy the illegal walking stick.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Ben's walking stick, you should recognize from the contraband.
The contrabando part.
From there, and then we had to go back and this last day finish up all. Now Big Ben had to be integrated into both episodes, so we had to go back and get Big Ben like first accosts Chet at Panther Junction. The first,
that was like one of the last things we filmed with Big Ben there. And if you, I mean, to know the truth, that whole all the episodes were filmed completely out of order, and so there's a reason I'm wearing the same shirt across it so that we could mix and match. Put stuff whichever episode, because when it all kind of got thrown off, it was like it was a little unclear as to what would be in the first episode and what would be in the second episode, and so I just made sure I wore the same clothes so we could
you
do
wore
it
the
wherever.
Same clothes, not your normal days. 2 days, but 4 days of ripeness.
Yeah, well, yeah. I wore a different T-shirt on the South Rim hike, but other than that, yeah. Oh, wow, they were really ripe. New standards.
Wow.
Of steak.
Because I already know that, you know, it get a little sketchy.
Yeah, yep.
Especially if they have a lot of outdoor activities on the first day.
Or you got to go into the barbecue smoke room.
That's when
it
gets
the nastiest. Smoke hits your clothes and it doesn't come out.
And
he's got still 2 days left to go on the shoot.
or season 4 San Antonio, first stop, first shot on the way out of the Panaderia, and you've spilled coffee on your shirt. And it's like, what? Right. Yep. This is there for the whole episode.
Yeah, it's the coffee episode. Now, we don't bring a Tide pen with us.
No way.
No, but the hike was a challenge enough for you guys because y'all left so late in that day.
Yeah.
It was a run up the South Rim from what I understand.
Yeah. We booked
felt
it.
Like it wasn't, but it felt like it.
Daniel tells me, he goes, I got like a half a mile in. I go, I shouldn't be here. And there's still seven miles to go to get up the mountain.
That's right.
Yeah, it was. I mean, the last thing I did was pretty big. I went to Maroon Bells in Colorado, but that was a year ago. And after that, I had a bad experience with the altitude and stuff like that, unforeseeable. So I did like nothing in preparation for the last year. And so when we got there, I was just like, oh man, this is harder than I remember. Because, I mean, of course, but here's the thing. I'm with Brandon Bargo, who does this for a living. He gives, you know, these tours to people. Like, he takes people up to the craziest mountains. He's done, like, every
high peak in the world. He attempts world record runs of highest peaks in countries. And then
you've got Travis, who does, what is it, the Great
Water Safari.
Yeah, like, they do these crazy things. So... trying to keep up with these guys, I mean, it's impossible. Yeah. They were coming down to our level. Right. So it was, the bottom line though, it was amazing. Did see a bear.
Yeah, but the bear, Daniel was the one person who got to see a bear. A little closer. I guess Brandon and I saw a bear near the lodge scamper across the road quickly, like, and no cameras were running, and it was, as soon as you saw it, it disappeared. It was like a cub, but you had a much closer encounter.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I didn't realize there were black bears in Big Bend. Like, I don't know. I guess they say bears, but you don't really think, oh, well, I'll see a bear. Yeah, sure. No, I saw a bear, and it was like 30, 40 yards away from me, growling at me.
And it saw you.
It saw me before I saw it. I actually heard it, and I was like, there's no way that was a bear. And then I hear, whoa. I'm like, okay, hold on, that's a bear.
Yeah.
Look around and see it. Scared it off. I hit the bear boxes up there as loud as I could, and it went away. But like 30 minutes later, came back growling again. I'm like, that bear box is big enough for me to get in. I'm just going to sit inside of it. And it started raining. It was pouring.
Yeah. That was the cover. It was raining, so I got in the bear box.
It's like, hey, I've got some expensive equipment in here. There's a bear. I can justify this.
But you were napping, right, at the time. Like,
we
went to Emery Peak, and Daniel's kind of stayed back to kind of rest up a little bit.
Yeah.
And you got awakened
by a bear growl. That, I mean, if there's not freaky, that, like, golly, that was freaky.
So we came down from the hike, and he's sitting in the bear box, like, yeah, I saw a bear, so I think this is safe for me.
Nice. But,
oh, that was awesome.
No, but we had a good run in Big Bend.
You know, everybody out there in West Texas was nice, except for a few.
We had some resistance.
Resistant, yeah.
The locals were the natives.
Yeah, the natives, interlingua.
Were resistant.
The natives were restless.
So it's the same attitude that kind of brought them out there to be away from the hustle and the bustle and who they think is fake and who is genuine and that kind of thing. We brought in cameras pretty fast and in their face a little. Not really, but...
Yeah, we kicked them off their porch. They got their beer-drinking porch. They like to sit there and not be bothered, and we came in with cameras.
And bothered them.
We were nice, but that didn't help.
No.
That wasn't going to ingratiate us with them at all.
They were angry to any outsiders.
Yeah,
so generally speaking, the people in Terlingua are nice, but they're kind of their own breed. Like, there's a reason they live in Terlingua, and it's to avoid humanity.
Right.
And so when you bring pieces of the outside world into their little haven,
right,
it doesn't go well.
Especially when, like, okay, so we went scout night, our off-camera meal at the Starlight, and had a good time and go, this is a cool vibe. And then the next day we had cameras with us, and it changed.
Oh, yeah.
It changed fast. Oh, Mr. Camera.
Yeah, plus, it's like you're back again. I think, Richie, you were kind of confirming to them, hey, we're not going to be here long. We're getting this shot. We're going to get out.
Yeah.
You know, like trying to explain to them, I know this looks stupid. We're doing this bit, which, you know, it was kind of like making a stereotypical Terlinguin, you know.
Desert dog.
That was a challenge.
But hey, like you said, we were trying to show them this is what people think it's like. This is not what it is like.
Yeah, you have to.
But you're just confirming it is what it's like.
Well, maybe. So that was a challenge. So we had a good time.
Terlingua had fun. La Kiva ended up being fun at the end of the night.
Yeah.
It was all, Terlingua was a great place. Yeah, we just ran into a couple of little honries out there on the road. So let's leave Big Bend. If you guys want more stuff about Big Bend, find out the podcast we did all about the park and what hikes to do and that kind of stuff.
And we'll put a link to it in the description below.
Sure. Yeah, Todd.
I've already got it.
Okay, good. So,
bless you.
The first episode we filmed in the new season was actually Taylor. It was a good place to jump in because it's like 30 minutes from where we office every day.
I'm just gonna say that I have never eaten so much barbecue in a 2-day span.
Todd, and you said you weren't a rookie anymore, but I think you are if you haven't had that much barbecue.
Oh, that was a lot.
Did you go to Lockhart?
You didn't go to the Lockhart episode. Okay. That's the only time we ate more barbecue than we did.
Actually, I take that back. 24 hours, Best Western, the whole hog that we did.
That was for pretty them, disgusting.
For the
yeah,
online
we got,
series, that was like four,
we ate ourselves into silliness. The barbecue was good.
In 24 hours?
We ate more than should have been humanly possible. We're slobby, like gluttonous to the max.
But anyway, Taylor.
Gross.
Taylor, right around the
we
corner.
We went to Louis Miller Barbecue, one of the best in Texas. We went to Taylor Cafe, historic, and then we went to Davis Grocery. And I was super impressed with Davis Grocery just because it flies under the radar.
It does.
Completely. You lived in Taylor and didn't know about it.
I lived in Taylor and I had no clue. I'd driven past it, but I mean, there's just a separation in Taylor where you're either staying on one side of it or you're staying on the other.
That shocked me the most.
And well, I knew that, and not as a racial divide as much. Like, I mean, that is apparent too after a while, especially if you live there. But more so, just like, well, there's nothing on that side of the city for me. I don't typically go to that side of the city. Everything that I'm needing is up on the north side. Yeah. So to cross truly, the railroad tracks, you're going into a whole different environment.
It truly has the tracks that divide. It truly is the tracks as a dividing line, which
and
is
And it's been like that for a long time. And I think that was a, you know, not to dive into it too deep, but that was something that was kind of eye-opening, even just listening to your friend that lived there much longer than I did.
Mm-hmm. At
Vinsel's.
Vinsel's, yeah.
Yeah, a.k.a. Vinsel's.
A.k.a. Vinsel's, yeah. Taylor Cafe.
It's cool to see how much we've progressed, like, because it's sad to see where we were, but good to know, hey, we're not like that anymore. Hopefully, we got past that.
Yeah.
But there are small towns where it's like they don't hold on to the same beliefs, but people do the same things. Like, people will stay in the same area. There's no reason to change where I go to the grocery store. There's no reason to change where I sit. It's like, this is where I've sat for 50 years. I'll keep sitting here.
That's right. Yeah. And so you go into Taylor Cafe or Vinsel's, and there's still two sides to the bar and people who will sit on their appropriate side. It's all in the episode, or appropriate, whatever, the side they've always sat on.
Right.
So they're creatures of habit. But, that was really interesting to, I'd always heard that legend of Taylor Cafe, and being able to dig into it a little bit and hear it from Vinsel's perspective and then the perspective of some locals and his pit boss was sort of like, okay, wow. It was really eye-opening, really interesting. And it kind of, in my brain, brought me back to some darker times, like when that stuff was enforced.
Right.
Now it's just sort of like creatures of habit, like I said, but it hasn't always been that way. Like, wow.
And hearing that and realizing that, it also made it even, for me, more important that we actually covered the Moody Museum and the story of Dan Moody, former governor, that took on the KKK.
Yeah, it was a nice counterpoint, I guess, to it.
Yep.
For sure. Taylor, though, all in all, went off pretty well without many hitches. We did forget a camera.
Yes, we did. Yep, we did.
As soon as we got there, we realized that.
And then the only part that was kind of super chaotic was the Texas Beer Company, which is a new brewery in downtown Taylor, let out the word that we were going to be filming there. And on an afternoon when they're not even open, it was a few hundred people all there.
Yeah. Classic cars.
Classic cars came out. Oh, it was fun, though.
Had one of the restaurants in town bring food and put a spread out.
Right.
All they ended up is 2 minutes on the episode.
It's cool to see the younger generations that are coming up in Taylor, too, because, talking about the divide that you see in the older generations that are still there. Now you've got this younger generation that is just like, who cares about any of that?
Yeah,
let's just thrive where we're at. And it's just like this big mix of everything happening.
Yeah.
Right in the middle of town, right everywhere where things are happening.
That's
really cool. Really neat.
Young blood. And the Austin Stone has a lot to do with it. I know they're being intentional about having people live there. That's a church in Austin.
Yep.
Pretty
cool. The other thing, too, is I was really impressed was that we actually had a fishing trip that you caught fish without having to go back to catch fish.
If a six-inch fish counts, like...
It's fish.
That's called swapping bait. That's what that is.
Yeah, take a small bait, get a bigger bait. It was not the most exciting fishing that you could imagine, but it was fun.
Actually, I think it was right. There was more action. I think the two-camera thing was...
Interesting.
It's tough. The two camera thing is tough on a boat.
Well, it's easy with you when you're on the same boat as Chet, but I'm just floating in circles around y'all's
right,
boat.
Just
getting in half of your shots, like I'm just like, hey, Richie, how's it going?
I'm not in all of your shots, because how far do you have to zoom in to cut me out of the shot?
The boat I was on, something was wrong with his motor, I think, and so he was using a trolling motor that he couldn't turn off correctly. There was something going on where... He had to keep going. We couldn't just sit there. So we were nonstop, just 360s around Yellowstone the whole time.
We have to do something.
We'll figure that one
out. Fishing spots that are, you know, that are really, really tough.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think we covered about every fishing story we need. I think we're good to go.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to fish.
Marlin chasing, guys. That's going to be next.
Okay,
I don't want to fish anymore on the show because it's a real challenge to shoot.
There are some things on the show that are fun to do. Like, it's fun to do in person, but yes. It's not fun to film.
To cover. Yeah. No. Yeah, unless you do it upright. And we have hours. You guys understand, we have hours to get some of this stuff. Like, we're here from 3:30 to 5:30, or 6 if you're nice. Like, okay, great. So, in all that time, we arrive, set up, plan how it's going to go, and then try to get wildlife to cooperate with us.
Yeah, wildlife.
In the same space.
And make it look pretty.
Yeah, and you know, it's tough, man. If we could make an intentional fishing show, and it'd be good, but it would take all of our attention, all of our resources, and all of our time.
Well, most fishing shows will camp out in a certain place for multiple days to get a small segment like we do, or a 30-minute show, but it'll take them days, 6-7 days sometimes. We got 2 hours.
Yeah, I feel terrible for the editors of those shows. Oh my gosh.
Oh,
yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
No, the fishing stuff's not fun.
Taylor was awesome though, but what about Conroe? That was a...
Man, Conroe, so, you know, north of Houston, great time. I really liked that shoot. I thought we had fun there. Got to spend the time on the lake. That's the highlight that sticks out in my brain for me.
The lake was fun.
We went to that drift cycle boats, the man-powered boat.
That was neat.
And there were only, you know, a few of us on the crew. And she was like, no, you're going to need more people. So she called all her friends, I guess just friendlies out, filled the boat up with all these people who were partying and drinking cheladas or whatever they were drinking. I don't know.
There was a lot of Lone Star.
We brought the Lone Star.
Well, they brought some too.
Yeah, they did. Some in the cooler.
Well, I know that for sure because we drank all of ours and then there was still more.
Oh, okay.
Because Richie had a few.
Richie gets there and he's hot.
Here's the thing. I was working hard that day. We did have a moment to kind of like, we got the shots we needed. Let's relax.
No, this was before. You said, y'all get set up. And then he pounds two tall boys.
First of all, it was 4 beers, okay? 2 of them were tall boys. The other 2 were 12.
And the tall boys were consumed within the first 8 minutes of the trip?
First 6 minutes.
Yeah.
That's not the point. The point is the segment.
What's the point?
The segment still looks amazing.
The segment is amazing.
It was fun. It was hot. And it was beer. And, you know, you just got
sometimes a cold beer on a hot day.
We also fought a little bit of rain that episode, too, as well.
I remember the cameras fogging up.
The humidity was
through the roof at the Wolf Sanctuary.
Well, we were out in the woods in a low-lying area on a humid day because it had rained earlier, and then they had misters for the wolves to like kind of cool them off. So it was just
it was sitting there sweating, I've never
been to a rainforest, but I assume that's what would happen.
Yeah.
And so one of our Sonys, one of our big cams, just decided, nope, I'm not gonna unfog.
Yeah.
And we finally realized that it was internal. The condensation was inside.
The older model didn't have a lot of ventilation. Lens. And so it was keeping a lot of the moisture, I think, inside it, right?
The other way around. It had too much ventilation.
Oh, the one with it. Okay.
So that moisture got inside. So we were down a camera in that segment at the Wolf Sanctuary.
Yeah, so when you watch that episode, you'll see a lot of it's done with one camera and a GoPro.
But you won't know that because the editing's so good.
That's right.
So amazing.
We went flyboarding, and that was pretty cool. That turned into some good, fun visuals.
Yeah, it did. It was a little easier than I thought.
Well,
actually,
you got up like immediately. Actually, that kind of hurt some of the edit where we're trying to make it look like, okay, here's the storyline. He's going to struggle, and then he's going to finally get it. It's like, no, you picked it up immediately.
But I intentionally crashed a few times to give you all those shots.
Yeah.
I was like, oh!
And some of those are obvious. Like, you really were. You were natural with it.
Oh, well, thanks, guys. Come on. Thanks. No, it really...
Ted
it
says that a lot, though.
It wasn't... I totally
crashed on purpose to give you guys some stuff.
Sure. Especially, kite boarding in Corpus Christi.
Right.
I was just crashing on purpose for 2 hours
straight.
To make
it exciting. Yeah. Otherwise, it was going to be a total show-off piece.
Yeah, but right. No, but, you know, it's pretty stable. It's not as difficult as you would expect. So if anybody wants to go out and try the flyboarding, like... You just gotta have just a small bit of stability in your feet, and you can take off to the sky. And it feels like flying. It's bizarre, man. It really does.
It's cool.
Does it feel like a board pushing you up from your feet?
It feels like you're just like standing on something. Okay. It feels like you're standing on a piece of wood that's flying around the sky. A magic carpet ride, if you will.
Okay.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
It looked fun.
It was great. I was super impressed with the wolf sanctuary itself. Like,
that was cool.
They let you in the cage with wolves.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these wolves, they're wolves, so they don't really, they kind of behave like dogs, but they kind of don't.
Are they wolves or wolves?
Well, I
say
I was
having that same thought, but I was going to let him go.
Wolf,
I was
wolfies.
Like, there should be a V in there, but we're going to go with it.
It is a wolf. No. There's no V. There's no
the V
in
is pronounced as a F. You guys.
I learned a lot about wolves.
Yeah.
Wolves.
While I was and there. There was one there that had a rap sheet on the corner. So they let you in with the nice wolf.
Right.
But then there was the one on the corner. It's like, yeah, that one's already had a few maulings and a bunch of attacks. And I walked around with the camera just by myself.
They were like, swear to God, and two fingers were missing when they said swear to God. They held the hand. Like, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
What happened to those fingers?
He has notches on his post.
Yeah, he tried to attack you.
Well, there's multiple fences between me and him, but I go over there by myself with the camera, and he walks over kind of to where I am and then sits
stalking.
Down.
Stalking.
Oh, it's crazy.
And I was just thinking he was sitting, but as soon as I turned my back, the lady said that he pounced, and then the fence was in the way. But he was actually stalking me and waiting for me to walk away.
I mean, they said sometimes squirrels and rabbits get in there and then it lasts like a minute.
Oh, they're done.
What's cool though is they put them in pairs. And so the male will catch things and take it to the female. And so it'll kill a squirrel and just lay it in front of the female.
I brought you something, baby.
I picked you up something.
Yeah. I picked you up some to-go food. It was cool. And then, the last of the fall run, Bernie. Hill, good old fashioned Bernie. Hill country.
Bernie was fun.
We did a lot in Bernie.
We did.
We did a lot in Conroe. It was a lot in Conroe. Probably too much in Conroe. And Bernie was one of those things where we shot a lot and ended up having to
cut
down a lot and go, man, I don't know why we stayed there for 2 hours.
The Bernie weekend at Bernie bit that Todd was Bernie. We did something
Bernie?
In every single place almost. And so we only got to use like three, maybe four of those bits. But we did one every
Bernie
single
was
place
in every
we
spot.
Went.
Bernie was at the cage. Because
we didn't know where we were going to need it yet.
The shooting range.
Yeah.
Was on
so we threw a bunch of the bloopers at the end of the show. But
yeah.
Bernie
Todd,
was fun
you nailed
too.
It, Todd.
Well, thank you. It's kind
I've
of easy
seen
playing
play
Ted.
A dead guy so well.
Great acting. Great acting.
We give Todd 2 pints of craft beer, and then he's Bernie anytime you need him.
Gentleman's Relish was where we learned.
I worked for Gentleman's Relish. Yes, that was a Conroe. I grew up in San Antonio and had been to Bernie quite a bit. And so just to see how much it's changed even, because I haven't been to Bernie in years, and it has grown a lot.
It's a little tourist destination.
We looked
out on weather, too, because it was super pretty those
Very
days.
It was pretty.
Super nice.
And then some things don't change, like the cave without a name. I mean, I don't think I've been in a cave I've been more impressed with. And I've been to some huge caves, but I did not foresee that a cave like that would be
in
a little town.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
and how you get
fun.
To it going down, like, it's not like a long, ramp that takes you down there. It's just like the spiral staircase.
Winding stairs down.
It was fun.
Yeah, a cave without a name is awesome.
It was really pretty. A lot bigger than I thought it would be.
I really enjoyed Random, the little food truck park we went to at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
I thought the food was awesome.
Random was
I actually
fun.
Ended up, you guys headed back to the hotel, and for some reason I was feeling social, so I...
You ended up in the cellar.
I ended up in the cellar.
We couldn't find you.
Yeah. He was like, I got some, he goes, let me show you. I'm kind of a nut for like old architecture and houses and stuff. He goes, let me show you the cellar. And so we end up...
Every after-school special. Don't follow a stranger into their cellar, Chet. Come on. he offers you drugs?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. No, so he did say, he goes, I got the good beer. So we get down the cellar. He goes, I had this good beer set out. Sure enough, there's this table in this old root cellar underneath this house built in the 1800s, whatever.
And that's what he chained you to?
That's what
he...
Okay. No, but it was crazy. So I end up down there, just time passes. Todd can't find me. He goes, we're going back. I was like, I'm not ready. All right, I'll just stay. The guys were like, we still haven't even broken out the real good beer yet.
That's how it starts.
That's how it starts. I know.
That's how it starts.
But I found myself down with all these people, including like a George Strait's private pilot who lives in Bernie. So yapping about taking George Strait around the country to concerts.
I'm George Strait's guitar tech then.
But you know, I was impressed with Random though. They were probably one of the better executed food trailer parks and family entertainment.
But hands down, best food truck park I've ever been to.
It was really
without
good.
A doubt.
Yeah,
it had 99 taps for people, mm-hmm. and they made the money off the beer. And then the food trucks were there
high
for all this
food.
Great food.
Great food. Mm-hmm.
The trampoline yeah. for the kids or whatever that big bouncy pillow thing was.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Man, awesome. If I lived in the area, I could see us going there pretty often with the kids.
Yeah. Oh, all like the time. Kind of all the time.
Let your kids loose.
And then we dove into something we've never done on the day tripper before, which was
guns.
Automatic rifles.
Automatic.
I mean, really, rifles at all. So we went to the Bernie Shooting Club, and man, those dudes rolled out the arsenal.
What's that called? A Schützenverein?
Schützenverein. Schützenverein.
Verein is a club, and Schützenverein is a shooting.
It's just fun to say.
Yeah, that's right. And but anyway, that was fun. I thought they did a really good job kind of walking us through their sport. And that's just what they do for fun. And it's totally safe. And they go out and they just shoot stuff. Like they've been doing, like people in Texas have been doing for forever. Shooting guns like that is fun.
I think I like the target. Was it wasn't pellets. No, it was the air rifle guy.
Would you shoot the little metal animals?
Yeah, and then you could just, he had the strings, and you could just reset.
Yeah.
You could just reset.
Pull the animal back up.
Yeah, because you can, I mean, you got to look, it's tough to participate in shooting when the only person who can really see what's happening is on the scope.
Yeah.
On the gun itself.
Yeah.
And so you're just kind of watching someone, and they go, yep, a little bit off. You go, I guess, okay, somewhere down there, he's either making it or he's not. But at least with the air pistols, it was you could see it, you know, you knock down the squirrel or whatever, and then it gets reset.
Beep.
And then at the end the target, the big metal targets.
But yeah, shooting the metal targets with the handguns.
Yeah.
And
that was cool. You had a big visceral like pop from the gun, the beep, pop from beep. the target and
it was all .22, so it wasn't big, you know, big ammo. But it's funny, you know, I actually joined the Bernie Shooting Club while I was there because I wanted to legitimately join it, paid dues and everything.
Have you gone back?
I haven't gone back, and I'm not going to go back really, but I wanted to support the club because they were so generous with their time.
Yeah.
But this past weekend, I got all the results. They must have had a match. Joe came in second in the air targets, and so-and-so was right behind him and this, like... All of these you know, score sheets. I was like, oh yeah, I'm a member.
I have to say, they did make 22s look cool. Because I wasn't sure about that before we got there.
Oh, like, yeah. Wait, oh yeah, big hunter 22s. Man.
I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah, big hunter
I'm just
man.
Saying. You know,
yeah. That's
22s,
true.
I mean.
They were shooting
BBs
up. And they
out
made
there.
Them themselves. That now, wasn't in the episode.
Those
like,
rifles were ridiculous.
Joe had made
$6,000 rifles, custom made.
Joe had made one for his wife, and he put her name on the bolt. Like, that's a Texas, you know, like
right.
the
Valentine's
pull on
Day
trigger
gift.
Was like, I think he said 2 ounces. It's like just
oh,
a few
tiny.
Ounces because you like you pinch the trigger.
Uh-huh.
Like you don't pull it.
Beep, beep.
You don't hold the rifle. You just beep, tap the trigger.
Yeah.
That's it. It's
awesome.
Insane.
And we actually, you know, that was one of the episodes where it's close enough that I took my wife back to Bernie after we'd filmed there.
Uh-oh.
A couple weeks later, we drove out to Bernie, my wife and I. And we ended up going to Mary's Tacos.
Oh, Mary's Tacos.
We didn't even talk about Mary's Tacos. Good. Those were so
man.
Good.
Yeah,
so good.
Awesome.
And then
the
swung
tacos.
Over to Soda Pops. And
yeah.
Got
also
us,
good.
Got us a milkshake, and that was good. Picked up a couple of little Pez things for Tatum.
Cool. That was a good burger.
Yeah. Tasty.
Yeah, I went back to Bernie in my mind again and again as I edited. Matter of fact, I went to all these places again and again in my mind as we edited.
He's seeing counseling
reason.
About that now, too.
He is.
Yeah.
All
right. That's tough, man, because, like, you said, rehash what happened. I was like, I don't know. I was there again and again and again for weeks, you know.
Make sure.
The stories make sense.
You guys, if y'all missed any of these episodes, please go to thedaytripper.com and watch them again. Or
by
check
the time
the
you listen to this,
everything.
You'll probably haven't seen the last three.
If our super duper podcast fans, of
yes,
course, right
of
there.
Course.
But this gives you guys a little more insight into some of the things that happen. We always like, you know, the show is as scripted, I guess, as it can be. But you know, you always are making changes along the way.
You give yourself too much credit.
Things like flash floods come. You know, I mean, we have a rough order, but it never seems to be switched around. You know, the joys of unscripted, kind of planned television. All right, so anyway, the joys.
That's a nice way to put
joys,
it.
The joys, you know.
Joys.
So, but you guys, season 8 is of course out there. As I wrap this up, I'm going to remind y'all, go to the General Store, go to our website, The Day Tripper, click on shop, or just go to Day Tripper General Store. You can get our new season 8 shirts. You got all the destinations on the back. And make sure you tune in next time. We'll be back talking Texas, filling you guys in on all the things that are happening in the Lone Star State. But, I mean, of course, you know, season 8 is right now on TV, and we could not make this show at all without the help of our sponsors. We don't get any funding from PBS. We are self-funded through our partnerships.
And we have some new sponsors this time.
I know. We get some. I mean, our sponsor deck is amazing. We've got Rudy's Country Store and Barbecue.
Rudy.
Lone Star Beer.
Lone Star!
National Beer of Texas. Gotta love that. Georgetown, Texas. Most beautiful town square in Texas. Texas.
I like Georgetown a lot.
Oh, yeah. You live here. So I hope so.
Bias.
Texas Farm Bureau Insurance. Austin Area Chevy Dealers.
Chevy.
And good old-fashioned Best Western Hotels and Resorts.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you love the Day Tripper, go and thank one of those. Go have a Rudy's barbecue sandwich for us. Come visit Georgetown for us. Go buy a new car for us.
Drink a Lone Star.
You know, not while you're driving a car.
Not while you're driving a car. Yeah.
And get that vehicle insured.
Go and tell them thank you because they help the show actually happen. All right. For me, from now, for now, vaya con Dios, amigos. Y'all say bye.
Bye. Later.
Yep. All right. Bye. Adios.
Bye.